That is where we're safe, harbored in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Very good. Very well done. Amen. Well, it's good to have my father-in-law here, and Dwayne has been a part of my life now for many, many years, and had a part in my salvation. He was there when we started our church in Bern, Indiana, so my first pastorate, he was there, and I've always said, always, every time I see him, it's good to have a sinner to preach to. And I've changed messages before or told him that I was going to preach about father-in-laws, fathers, and other wicked things. And truth of the matter is, he's such a blessing to me. And I've never had trouble with my in-laws. I thank God for my in-laws and thank God for the influence they've had in my life. And many of you have been praying for him, and it is good to see him. And I saw many of you talking to him, and he's here today, and praise the Lord for that. 1 Peter 3 is a tough passage, I'll tell you. Verses 8 through 18, God showed me this recently, and it was just a tough stuff, and yet it was good. It was some things I needed, and so I started writing a message on it. I wrote out the points and started writing the sub-points and everything, and I'll tell you what, it is so long, it's unbelievable. Amen. I can tell you're encouraged. I made it into two parts. You wish I would have said three parts, but anyway, I made it into two parts, but it's just so good. And it deals with, you know, the very essence of Christianity and, you know, how do we deal with bad things in our life? How can you handle it? You know, are you a good testimony? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? And especially when we're going through tough things and maybe somebody else is bringing that on. You know, how do you deal with it? What do you do? And I want to talk to you about, I've entitled the message, Suffering for Well-Doing. Suffering for Well-Doing. In other words, you're suffering for doing right. You're going through tough times and you've been doing right. And so this is part one this morning, and I'll give you part two tonight. Father, I thank you again for this opportunity that we have to gather and hear the Word of God. Thank you that we have the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, that gives us an opportunity to be saved and to know we're going to heaven. And I pray that if there's someone here today who does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, that they'll realize, Lord, that you love them and that you died for them and you paid a price so they could be saved. And Lord, that they could call on you and be saved today. What a blessing that would be. And just speak to us, Lord, please, through your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so it's a tough passage, but it's all summed up by the reality of verse 18. And verse 18 is really the summation. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You know, Christ suffered. He suffered in a way that we cannot imagine. He died on the cross. The Bible says that they took a cat of nine tails, a whip that had lashes off of it, that had stone and glass and everything mingled in with the leather. And literally, he was beaten 39 lashes with that cat of nine tails, literally ripping the skin from his body, cutting him, tearing him, beating him. And he was nailed to a cross. He suffered. He suffered physically, suffered as men cursed him and spat upon him and beat him with their fists. He suffered. And he suffered, the Bible says, the just for the unjust. The Bible teaches Jesus never sinned. He never told a lie. He never deceived anyone. He never did anyone wrong. Jesus never sinned, and yet he suffered on the cross. And why is that? Well, it says that he might bring us to God. It's so that we could be saved, so that we could go to heaven someday. We couldn't pay that price. We couldn't pay the price for sin. It had to be the perfect Lamb of God. I love the song we sang a while ago, Look to the Lamb of God. He's the sacrifice, Jesus, who lived a perfect life and died on the cross to pay for our sins. Now, he who knew no sin suffered for sins. The just for the unjust. And I say, praise God. I am so glad that he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. I'm so glad he died on the cross to pay for my sins. I rejoice. Bible says he did that because he loves me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Now, the Bible says he did it because he loves me, and I rejoice over that. But understand this, we rejoice, but we're the unjust. I mean, the just suffered for the unjust. The just died on the cross for the unjust. The just was beaten and literally his body was ripped in shreds for the unjust. It was my sin. It was my wickedness. It was your sin. He died for you and I. And that's what we're talking about. Suffering for well-doing. You know, if ever we get to a place where we say, woe is me and boo-hoo and I just can't go through this, we ought to always go back to verse 18. Because he knew no sin, but he suffered for my sins. By the way, why wouldn't you trust him as Savior when you know that's what he did? He loved you. He died on the cross. If you'd been the only person on this earth, he would have died on the cross for your sins. But I go to verse 17, and it says this, for it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing. It's good for us. I mean, for you and I. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking about saved people. And he's saying this. He's saying it's better if the will of God be so. Whoa, preacher. What do you mean the will of God? Oh, yeah, God's never caught off guard by your suffering. If you have a headache today, if you're sick today, if you're just not feeling well, or maybe your finances aren't good, you went to the doctor and he told you things you didn't like to hear. I'm just saying this. The Bible says here that if the will of God be so, he said it's better that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Better. You mean doing right? We could suffer? I mean, you mean if I do what I'm supposed to do and I obey and I do pretty much whatever God says in my life, you mean I might suffer? Oh yeah, definitely. No question about it. And yes, God says it could be His will. And we'll show you that here in just a few minutes. You know, this whole thing right here is the excuse I've heard many times as a pastor. Somebody says, well, you know what? If I'm going to suffer for doing right, I might as well do wrong. I'll show you how foolish that is here in just a minute. Well, you know, if I'm going to suffer, I mean, and it's why so many say, well, I'm not going to be a preacher. I'm not going to be a missionary. I don't want to suffer. I'm not going to serve God. I'm not going to be on that bus route. Everybody that gets on that bus route, people cuss them out and give them a hard time. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want people to be mad at me and on and on and on. Eventually, folks just say, I'm not even going to go to church. I'm going to go ahead and suffer anyway. There is a big difference. So I want to give you some points this morning, and I'll finish up tonight. Number one is the problem, and it's that word suffer. We don't like it. Nobody likes it. I mean, you could suffer from a headache. You don't like that. You could suffer from a backache. Oh, you know, I can barely move. And you could suffer from all kinds of things, and we just really don't like that. But we can suffer from persecution. You know, people don't like you. We can suffer at work. We can suffer in so many different ways. And the truth, we just don't like it. We don't like to suffer. By the way, everybody suffers somehow. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. I'm talking about saved people suffer and unsaved people suffer. You may be here today and say, you know what, I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And I suffer too, and I go through. Everybody does. Everybody has things that they go through that we don't necessarily like. And suffering is one of those things. Look at 1 Peter 4. Just one chapter over, 1 Peter 4:12, and it says this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. He says it's not strange. And by the way, he says it's a fiery trial. That's never good. I understand, fiery trials are not good trials. Okay, that's not a good thing. That is a time of suffering. And suffering happens to everybody. Suffering happens to all. It happens to the just. It happens to the unjust. It could be health suffering. It could be some kind of a health problem. It could be the flu. And you can go all the way from flu all the way to cancer. You could have some kind of suffering from health. It could be a sprained ankle or a broken leg or something like that. You could be in a car wreck and get injured, and you could suffer from that. It might be eye problems and you suffer. It could be some ear problems. You might suffer from a toothache of some kind. Some kinds of health things. And as we get older, certainly arthritis and pains that you have no idea where it's coming from, and all of that. I mean, those things are very real in our lives, and everybody has some kind of suffering. It could be the loss of a loved one. And most have experienced that kind of suffering where you just don't understand. Why did this have to happen? Why did this have to happen to our family? Why did this, a loss of a loved one, there is some suffering that is involved in that. It could be a financial setback, which causes lots of suffering in a person's life. A lot of suicides take place because of a financial setback. And most have experienced that at one time or another. And, we may look at a teenager, it's not a big deal. Anybody who's suffering, it's a big deal to them. And, again, financial setback could be a relationship situation, a losing of a friend, a divorce, something like that. There's all kinds of suffering that takes place. There's always the suffering from chastening, being punished. And we have a huge jail and prison ministry. And our guys will go in, our ladies go into these jails, and folks are suffering. And you say, well, serves them right. And that's true, but it is still a form of suffering. By the way, a child that gets punished, that's a form of suffering. And that depends, what kind of punishment, a spanking, my kids always felt like that was suffering. And, being punished from going somewhere, or doing something, there is a form of suffering in chastening. How about the law of reaping and sowing? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. I remember learning that with poison ivy, now, son, don't play over in those weeds. And sure enough, you go in the weeds and you come out with poison ivy. If you're going to sow it, you're going to reap it. And there's people suffering from that very thing. Again, it's not somebody out to get you. It's not God out to get you. It's just a matter of you did this. Jail would be an example of that. Emphysema from somebody smoking. A liver disease from alcohol or brain, your brain's fried because of drugs and whatever. It is suffering. And it's a sad thing. And it's a hard thing to deal with. Everybody suffers. Now, in our text, though, we have a suffering that is kind of a strange suffering. We have a suffering that is the result of doing right. It's suffering for well-doing. It's, hey, I've obeyed God, I've done what God said, and I'm suffering. I'm going through a tough time. Do you know that throughout the Bible are people who suffer for doing right? Over and over and over again. I'm not going to give you every example, but over and over in the Bible, it talks about people that are suffering. They suffered, and they were doing what God wanted them to do. They were doing His will. And again, you may say, well, if I'm going to do what God wants me to do and I'm going to suffer for it, I'm not going to do it. I hope to change your mind about that here in just a few minutes. Suffering for well-doing. Job was one who suffered for well-doing. Job, there was nothing wrong with Job. Job was doing right as far as we know, as far as the Bible indicates. Job was, the Bible says, a perfect and upright man. That doesn't mean he didn't sin, but when he sinned, he got it right with God. I mean, he was doing what he was supposed to do, as far as we know, about Job. Do you understand? Satan hates it when we do right. Do you understand? I don't care who it is. Okay? If you're here today and you've never been saved, the devil hates it that you're sitting in church right now. He doesn't like it at all. He is not for that. He's not overwhelmed with joy about that. He's very nervous about you being here right now because he wants you to go to hell. But I mean, I'm just saying, the truth of the matter is, Satan hates it when we do right. All you have to read the book of Job. You'll see Satan at his anger toward somebody who does right. God said, consider my servant Job. And the devil said, let me at it. And boy, he went at him, all right. And you know what? Job suffered. And understand this, God allowed it. And go back again to 1 Peter 3 It is better if the will of God be so. It is better if the will of God be so. How about Joseph? Joseph suffered. His brother sold him as a slave. And first they threw him down in a pit, and he didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, the threat was they were going to kill him. They sold him as a slave. He gets in the home of Potiphar, and he's accused of immorality, and he had done right. And he goes to prison. He suffered. Jeremiah suffered. Went to prison. Why? Because he preached. And he preached the word. John the Baptist, he suffered. Went to prison. Why? For preaching the word. Preaching the Bible. Had his head chopped off. Peter went to prison. Suffered. He ended up dying. He was crucified upside down. Because he said he was not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. John the Apostle was boiled in oil. And then cast onto the Isle of Patmos. He suffered. By the way, boiled in oil. I mean, can you imagine? Just a little burn on your hand and it hurts. And his whole body was boiled in oil. He suffered greatly as a Christian. Look what it says about the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11. Quite a passage here. 2 Corinthians 11. And verse 32. That is not what I'm looking for. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. By the way, when he's talking about in prisons, he's not talking about visiting people. He's not talking about the abundant pardon prison ministry of Berean Baptist Church. He's talking about the I'm visiting from the inside. He's there. He's in prison. And he says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times he received 39 stripes. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. By the way, stoned is not talking about being high on drugs. Stoned is being put into an area and people throw stones at you till you die, typically. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness. Amen. Does that sound familiar? Huh? In watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, and again, dealing with people. He says, I know about suffering. Now, what did he do to deserve that? He just did right. What did he do? I mean, come on, Paul, what did you do? I mean, you must have really been a bad... Understand, people all over this room are suffering and they've done nothing wrong. They're suffering for well-doing. Again, when I say they've done nothing, we're all sinners, every one of us. But I'm just saying, it's not a suffering because of wickedness. It's a suffering for well-doing. Look at Hebrews 11. Now, I've kept my place here in 1 Peter. We will go back there. But look at Hebrews 11. And here's another passage that talks about God's people over the years. Hebrews 11 and verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. That is suffering. That's God's people. That has happened. And it was a suffering for well-doing. It was a suffering for doing right. And it has happened over the years. All kinds of suffering. Mocking, scorning, torture, all of that. Paul even talked about in the context when he was giving the list, he said, and the care of the churches. It was a suffering from God's people even upon him. I like what he says, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 12, 15. Say, this doesn't sound like a very good deal. He says this, he says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You know, only a parent could even begin to understand what he's talking about there. I mean, there's a suffering in doing right. There is some suffering involved. And what Paul's talking about, he's talking about people. He's talking about what a bus captain may feel, what a Sunday school teacher could feel. It's where you give somebody your heart and they take a knife and put it in it. Yeah, I mean, it is a very real thing. And there's that kind of suffering. There's suffering that goes on all around. I think about a good student who suffers because they just do their best to make good grades, and pretty soon there's a group of kids making fun of them, and they have to suffer for that. It's like one of our young people in the public school that maybe they try to invite people to church, or they'll invite them to the youth explosion that we have in the fall, and people make fun of them. They'll mock them and torment them, and, oh, you Christian, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It's a guy at a factory who is trying to do right, and he goes to church and invites people. I got men, we pray that they can be an influence on people in the factory with them. And pretty soon, you know, some guy's spreading rumors about him and trying to ruin his testimony. It's like some of you in your families, you know, they just want to exclude you, or maybe purposely do something to offend you in some way. It's like a lawsuit against a church, which this church faced years ago for leading somebody to the Lord. It's like going soul winning and being cursed at and made fun of, and you're just trying to tell people about Jesus and try to help them with their life. It's like when an authority leads and makes decisions and then gets attacked. Listen, Paul says this is part of it. This is how it is. And you need to expect it. It's like the guy that does a good job at work and he works hard. And when he hired on, he said, I'm not going to work on Sundays because I want to go to church. And all of a sudden they say, well, we've changed the policy now and you're going to work on Sundays. And there's going to be some suffering involved. Now, some of this suffering I just talked about may not be unto death, but it's difficult. It's tough. Any suffering is tough. Don't ever look down at somebody and, hey, well, that's not so bad. You know, teenagers, oh, they'll come in and, you know, some guy, oh, she dumped me, you know, and his life is ruined. And he's, you know, you can't just look up and say, oh, son, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. Because it is a big deal to them. It is a big deal. Everything's a big deal. Any kind of suffering is a big deal. A preacher friend of mine, he does right. He's a soul winner. He's a Bible reader. He prays, and he's a good man. And he's been 2 years without a church. And I've talked to him over and over. I've wept with him. I mean, he sobbed on the phone. He's delivered pizzas. He's helped clean apartments. I mean, those are the jobs he's done. And I mean, you talk about suffering. Unbelievable suffering. And all I know is he's done right. My wife was in a car wreck 20 years ago, and she was on her way home from a youth activity, and the back seat of the car was all the food for the youth activity. And a lady ran a stop sign and hit her, and she suffered for that all these years. And not because she did wrong, she was trying to do right. And you say, well, in that case, I'm not going to try to do right. Well, let me get to number two. Number one is the problem, and that's suffering. But number two is the promise. And here's really what this is all about. The promise is this. Because here, you may think, it's not worth it then. I'm just going to do wrong. I'm just going to live like the devil. I'm going to do my own thing. But there's so many verses that tell us it's worth it. There's so many verses that tell us, just do right. So many verses that tell us, okay, you're going to suffer for well-doing, but God has something for you. And so I'm going to just stick to this passage. There's many verses in the Bible, but I'm just going to stick to the passage. Look at verse 9. Notice what verse 9 says. And we'll get into some of this tonight, where it says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. But look what it says. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Now, if today, as you were walking in, if I would have said, hey, we're going to have a drawing for blessings, and you'd sign up right away. Everybody would. Most would ask, what kind of blessing? You know, sometimes the pastor will say, hey, I got a blessing for you. You get to do this. I'm talking about a blessing. I'm talking about, like a $500 blessing. You'd like that, wouldn't you? I'm talking about all your problems would be gone, blessing. How would that be? Yeah. How about all your physical problems would be gone, blessing. You know, those who are ugly wouldn't be anymore. Those, no. But I'm just saying, you know, sign up for a blessing. Everybody would say, I'll take a blessing. Now look what he says here. He says this, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Who's that for? That's that guy suffering. That's who it's for. That's that person who's suffering. God says, you have an inheritance. You're going to inherit a blessing. And you are called. Not everybody's called to get that blessing. But you are. Man, that's good stuff. Hey, it's not Fred, it's Job that's going to get the blessing. It's not Cletus, it's Paul that's going to get the blessing. It's not Cecil, it's John that's going to get the blessing. Huh? John, you're called to get a blessing. Really? What do I have to do? Well, you're going to be boiled in oil and you're going to be put on the Isle of Patmos. But I'm going to open up the skies to you and I'm going to show you the book of Revelation. You're going to see it in person. I mean, you're called to inherit a blessing. I like blessings. I really like blessings. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So if there's going to be some suffering, there's going to be some blessings too. God has some amazing blessings. Look at verse 10, and here's a good verse for you. For he that will what? Love life and see good days. Would you like that? Do you know how many people hate life? I hear it probably once a week at least. I just hate life. Life's terrible. I can't stand life. And they'll use all kinds of language in reference to life. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I love life. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Everything's not just always peachy in my life, but I love life. Everything. I mean, I got headaches and it's just amazing, but I love life. Somebody says, have you ever thought about suicide? No, I love life. I don't ever think about it. I love life. But remember, this is he that will love life. He that will see good days. Okay, that's that guy that's suffering. Why is it? So many will say, well, you know, boy, they go through a tough time, but they sure are happy. Boy, they're going through, that financial problem they're going through, but I'll tell you, they're sure smiling. You know, those folks have seen a lot of heartache and a lot of sorrow, but boy, they just keep rejoicing. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a secret in that. And the secret is God. Everybody suffers. Everybody, we all get headaches. We all have aches and pains. We go to the doctor and the doctor doesn't make us happy. You know, we all have that. But how can this person love life? I think Paul and Silas, you know, they're in prison in Philippi, and there they are. They've been beaten. The Bible talks about their stripes on their back. They've been beaten, and they start praising the Lord. You know, at midnight, And they're in chains, and they're in prison, and they just start singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." Maybe they were singing, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." You say, "Yeah, you people are all nuts." No, I'm just telling. It's different. It's different. There really is a God. There really is a Holy Spirit. And he is the reason for our joy and the happiness, even in the midst of suffering. Here's somebody, you say, "I want to love life. I want to see good days." Then do right. Just do right. I want to have that kind of joy. I want to rejoice. Notice what it says in verse 14. It says this, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." I love that. Happy are ye. I mean, wait a minute. You're talking about suffering. You're talking about going through tough times. You're talking about hurting. You're talking about weeping. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you're happy. Folks all over the place, they would criticize, "Yeah, you Christians, you just don't know what you're talking about." We're happy. I'm happy. "Well, you got some headaches." "Oh, I understand that, but I'm happy." Amen. Notice what it says in verse 16. He says, "Having a good conscience." You know, there are people that pay any number of amounts of money to have a good conscience. To go to bed at night and not have to worry about what you just did. To go to bed at night and not have to worry about what you did weeks ago. Have a good conscience, to not have to always look over your shoulder. A good conscience. Huh? Yeah, but that person's suffering. Yeah, but they're not worried about suffering for bad doing. They're suffering for well doing. There's a huge difference. And then verse 17, I already pointed out, it is better. It is better. It says it's better. It's better. It's better that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Everybody suffers. Somehow. It's better. Real quick, 1 Peter 4, verse 13. 1 Peter 4, 13. "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf." What a good passage. Rejoice, happy, God's glorified. Job said it best. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's after he lost everything. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And you know what? God doubled everything that he had. Isn't that something? I mean, Joseph, he's sold by his brothers, and he's put in prison, and all of that while he's doing right. He's just doing right. And you know what? God put him in second in command in Egypt. Just under Pharaoh. Only God can do that. Huh? Paul, again, you talk about an amazing person, but you think about Paul, and we read all that he went through, and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. He didn't say that after he just got a raise. He didn't say that after he left the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're going to have to lose 80 pounds. He didn't say that after, they threw a party for him and said, "You are the most popular guy in the world." No, he said it while he was in prison. He said it with stripes on his back that were, the blood was drying because he'd been beaten. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. My preacher friend, for 2 years now, he's called, we've wept together, his heart's been broken. He suffered, but he's been doing right, doing right, doing right. He just candidated at a church, called me this week, said they voted unanimously for me to come and be their pastor. He said, this place, he said, I've never seen anything like it. All the way over in Washington State, he said, it's almost like they made this thing for me. Amen. You know, folks, you need to understand something. There really is a God. He really does care about us doing right. He really does. And of course, my wife, I think of her often when I think of someone who suffered. You say, yeah, because she's married to you. But you know, honestly, I mean, her humming, her singing, she does. That's how she is. She's not shallow. She's very, very deep. She has joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's not man-made. It's not put on. It's not fake. That is something that God does. And you won't find a sweeter disposition anywhere. You won't. I promise you. She never gripes. Never. I don't know of any time she's ever complained about anything. Amen. Now again, that's not because she's just such a wonderful person, though she is a wonderful person. It's because she has a wonderful God. And He tweaks things in us that though we suffer, we rejoice. Though we suffer, we're happy. Though we suffer, we're not ashamed. Amen. God's promise, He backs it up. You go, this passage, you could read it and say, oh, that's depressing. I'm not going to be a preacher. That's depressing. I'm not going to be a missionary. That's depressing. I'm not going to be a Christian school teacher. That's depressing. I'm not going to teach Sunday school. That's depressing. I'm not going to serve God. And I'll tell you what, you missed all the good things in it, because there's so many good things in it. And again, the problem is suffering. The promise, God over and over and over says, I'm going to take care of you. And number three, the last thing is the protection. And it's very clear in verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He really is there. He really watches you. And it's not like He's watching, oh, I wonder what bad thing. That isn't God. He loves you. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? That's a good question, isn't it? First of all, we have His eyes. He's watching. Huh? 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Just real quick, let's look at these verses. We'll be done. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. Just a couple of verses I want to show you. His eyes, He's watching. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. See that? He's going to show Himself strong. Show Himself strong. Amen? You know, Kathy, that's why God blesses you so much. He's going to show Himself strong in your life. You say, well, I'm not very big, God, and I there's not a lot I can do, and I'm really hurting a lot, and this woman suffered, but you know what? She just keeps doing right, and He shows Himself strong in her. And I guarantee this time next week, we'll be telling you how her week went. Amen. You'll be talking about what happened on days of our lives and as the world burns and everything else, and she's going to tell you about some people whose lives were changed. Because you know what? God's going to say, you know what? If you're willing to do right and you're going to do what I want you to do, I'm going to do something with you. Glory to God. And He'll do that with anybody in this room. You say, yeah, but I'm hurting, preacher. Just do right. Just do right. He's watching. God is watching. Psalm 34, verse 15, which is what this passage in Peter is referring to, much of it. Psalm 34 and verse 15. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Oh, that's so good. Just like a father. It sounds like a dad to me. It's like a dad just watching his child and watching over him to protect him and listening for any kind of a sound, like maybe even a cry at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, God, please help me. And He's ready. His eyes, His ears, it says, they're open to our prayers. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. He hears you. You say, I'm going through a tough time, preacher. Okay. God hears you. He sees you. He hears you. He loves you. Just do right. just do right. The Bible says here, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If somebody's trying to hurt you, if somebody's against you, and certainly the devil is, God's against them. God's against evildoers. God's against those who are trying to do evil against you. And He may allow it for a season as He did Satan versus Job. But I got news for you. He is in control. God is. You say, but I'm suffering. I know you are, but just do right. Just keep doing right. And rejoice. Because God's got it all under control. You say, but it doesn't look like it. I know it doesn't look. Do you think it looked like it with Job? Do you think it looked like it with Joseph? Do you think as Jeremiah was in that dungeon? By the way, I'm not talking about today's prison system. I'm talking about a dungeon. I'm talking about mud up to the knees. I'm talking about no restroom. You just go in the mud. I mean, Jeremiah, here's a guy. He loved you. Oh, God, I love you. I'm going to preach your word. And it didn't look good, but it always is good. His eyes, his ears, his face. And then verse 13, who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Who is he? What? But notice what you have to do. Be a follower of that which is good. See, it's kind of like he's our bodyguard. And I'm just going to stay with him. I don't want to stray because I'm going to stay with him. You know, because he's going to make everything right. He really is. He's going to make it right. You do right, you suffer, keep it up. Just keep it up. Keep doing right. He will make it right. And He promises that in His Word. You say, well, I'm still not convinced. I'm just going to keep doing my own thing. That's up to you. It's up to you. And you know, he's not really that excited. He's not really joyful. I can't show you what's in my heart. I can't show you what's in my wife's heart. I challenge people all the time. Just watch. Watch people who are suffering. Watch them rejoicing. Watch them praising God. Watch them being happy. Watch them where they enjoy life. Doesn't mean it's always pleasant. It's always fun. But they enjoy it. Why? Because God does something. God's our protection. And I know that. And you know that. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's talking, no one's looking around. Just a moment, we will give our invitation. But I want to ask a couple of questions first. I wonder how many people would say, preacher, if I were to die right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'd go to heaven. I know that I'm saved. No doubt about it. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand as a testimony of that all over? You know you're saved, no doubt about it. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to point anyone out. In fact, can't even see everyone. But if there's someone here that'd say, preacher, I'm not sure of that. If I were to die right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. Nobody's looking but me. You'd be honest and say, please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Just slip it up. Say, pray for me. I do not know. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Not going to embarrass you. Not going to point you out, but I'd like to pray for you. I wonder how many Christians would say, I am saved. I'm a Christian. But God has spoken to my heart about something in my life today. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? Just slip it up quickly. Put it back down. Thank you. Father, we love you and thank you so much for the protection that you give. I'm so glad your eyes see everything. I'm so glad that your ears hear everything. So help me to do what would be right in your eyes. Help me to say what would be right in your ears. Thank you for being my guard. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we live our lives just to keep doing right. Though some suffer, many suffer. Everybody suffers, God. Lord, help us to suffer for well-doing rather than for evil. And bless. And please help us to make the decisions we ought to make. Lord, I believe there's folks here that are not saved. Please, God, help them to know how much you love them and how much you want to save them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 311, 311 in your hymnals. God's speaking to your heart today. The invitation, if you are here and you're not sure you're saved, come and get saved today. If you're a Christian, you need to make a decision. Do not hesitate. If you need to come, you come.
All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransomed bound. All my thoughts, its words and doings. All my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue. If you have a decision to make, you come. All right, 4:30, ensemble practice, 5 o'clock, all the other practices that take place, men's prayer time, ladies' prayer time, our teens meet, and look forward to tonight. Of course, fair starts, pray about that, and pray for many, many souls to be saved during the fair this week, and that'll be good. It's going to be a good week, looking forward to it. All right, and then church service tonight at 6, so be here, and that'll be great. We'll finish the message, last two parts. All right, Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you that you are aware of us and our situation. Your eyes are upon us. Your ears are open to our prayers. Father, we thank you for that in spite of the problems that we have, you have a promise for us and protection over our lives if we walk with you. Father, we pray that we would exercise that presence, the power, the protection that you give to us. Lord, make us be aware of your Holy Spirit as we walk our daily life. Guide us and direct us in our decisions and our activities. Lord, may we point to you in all that we do. And as we go, we ask you to go with us and bring us back together again safe. We ask in Jesus' name.